50,000? You got 50,000 on Double Dragon?
This week, in your parents' basement, we're kicking butt as Bimmy and Jimmy themselves as we play Double Dragon by Host Japan for the arcade and NES. I'm Steve Greenwell. With me is the master of the hair pull, is Todd Brisket.
Get it straight. You're ugly and I'm homely.
Is that from Double Dragons, the movie?
Yeah, one in the same.
Ooh. I figured. And our other regular co-host, he beat his brother in a duel to be here today. It's Huell Hauser.
Double Dragon is the story of Billy and Jimmy Lee, twin brothers who learn to fight on the cold, tough streets of the city.
Oh, man. This is good stuff. Today we're joined by a special guest. This man is a director, but you're prestigious than that. He was the Sweet Boy of the Year. It's from the show Pascal's Pager, a.k.a. Christian Glenn.
There's just no substitute for a game that wants you to hit a woman in the face with a baseball bat.
Yes. Right up our alley.
Yes. We do seem to play a lot of these games because they were...
I don't know if we seem to play a lot of them or we just bring it up every time it happens because...
Well, I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, I feel like it's a surprising element in a lot of these old games. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes, and when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ybbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YBB homepage, ybbpodcast.com. The homepage is also find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. You can get yourself a Prime membership, and then you'll have free access to Double Dragons, BBW Paranormal Romance, Book 1 of 3. This week's game is Double Dragon. Released in 1987 for the arcade and 1989 for the NES, as they say in the UK, Double Dragon is many people's entry game for the beat-em-up genre.
Entree.
Yes. Although Techno's Renegade came first in 1986, Double Dragon expanded upon that game and, more importantly, had a much better port for the wildly popular NES. Paul, you really had to hop on when you learned you might be doing the Jimmy and Bimmy saga. What are your memories of this game?
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, this game loomed really large for me. It was one of the regular rotation. I think I'm positive that I have shared before on this show that my dad used to run an arcade. And when I was hanging out there, there were a few games that were always in the rotation. And one of them was Double Dragon. Not least because you could play it with a buddy. You could play it with a friend. Simultaneous play. I don't remember that being a big thing back then. I remember a lot of like hopping back and forth in between players. So it was kind of a novelty to be able to sit side by side with somebody and
beat people up. Beating on baddies with your buddy at the same time.
That was the subtitle, I believe, of the game.
This was my first time playing the true arcade version, and I was shocked at how different of a game it is from the NES version. Like it's a lot quicker.
I have the same note because this was my first time I purchased the arcade archives version on PS4. I got the arcade experience. But I had never played the NES version in my life, so I played a little bit of that. And I also was shocked at what a wildly different game it is.
Yeah, you would say one is better than the other. That's what I would say.
Which one would you say?
The one on the arcade is what I would say is the better one.
It took a long time to answer, considering you're very adamant that one was better than the other.
Well, let me say one I have much more nostalgia for.
Oh,
the other is better.
Let me take some notes. Yes. Okay.
The thing is, I kind of like the NES version better. And I'm not sure if that's just nostalgia or that the arcade version is definitely Pascal's Pager kind of game, because I was getting like wrecked.
Was it horrifically difficult?
Yes.
Mm. It's hard. I was surprised by how easy. I played them kind of right in a row. And so after I finished the arcade version, I switched over to the NES version and was shocked by how much easier it was. I mean, it's a much simpler game to play.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I only played the NES version, and I was delighted to find that I could make it to the third level in like 6 minutes without dying. And I was like, this is great. This is one of the best games ever made.
Because I wasn't you get to the sixth level?
The third level.
Oh, third level. Sorry.
Because there's only four. Oh. So I was like, A, there's only four levels. So I'm like, that's cool. B, I was on level three in like 8 minutes, maybe 6 minutes. And I hadn't died. And I was like, this is great. Because I know I'm not good at these. And these old games, I should say. And I was like, this isn't horrifyingly difficult. I'm having a great time jumping and kicking and punching. Picking up bats and beating ladies. So I was like, this is a great feature.
This is like real life. This is my
just
life.
Like what I want to do every day. So yeah, I was like, okay, this is cool. And the third level, the forest. It bumps up the difficulty a little bit, but at the same time, I wasn't like, this is the worst thing in the world. So yeah, I was like, cool. This NES one is for an old game, an old beat 'em up. It wasn't like frustratingly difficult.
Yeah,
so
Double
maybe
Dragon,
the arcade one must have been a little more.
It's more. I would say it's more fluid and more playable. Mm-hmm. More playable.
More playable. What do you mean by that?
It just feels more. It feels meatier. Like you're actually doing stuff instead of playing a little sprite on a NES screen. You're actually playing a meaty guy actually punching people. A meatsman, yes. Yeah. I mean, difficulty-wise, this one, Double Dragon the First, is notoriously not hard. But when you get up to Double Dragon 2 and 3, where they give you like two lives and you die within seconds on the first stage, that's where the difficulty comes in.
Well, yeah, that's where I just do not even bother.
Well, you know what's funny is, so I never, as much as I played this game as a kid, and it was a lot. I played it a lot as a kid.
On the arcade specifically?
On the arcade specifically, yeah. Okay. I never played the NES version before today. But for as much as I played it, I never beat it. And so when I sat down this week to play on PlayStation, you know how on the emulator you put in your virtual quarters? Mm-hmm. And I just racked them up. I was like, I'll just put in like 100 credits so that I can
stack them deep,
beat this game. And I ended up spending 10 credits before beating it, and I realized that would translate to a princely sum of $2.50, which I apparently never had to spare for Double Dragon as a kid.
Well, maybe you're just better now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I used to go into the arcade, I would have like $3 or $4 in my hand, and you got to spread it around. You know,
spread it around. There's other games that are calling for those quarters.
Hey, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless you go in there with the express purpose of, all right, today I'm beating Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you have those sessions, you know? You're like, all right, this is the time.
Yeah, so controller. I was surprised how short it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like the controller always makes it easier than the joystick.
Probably. Yeah, because that's an interesting point, because today as I play this, I was like, you know, this is like not horrible. Like this is kind of not easy, but it's fun. I'm making my way through. I'm like, why did Pascal's Pager choose this game? Like, it's not I'm not like ready to like flagellate myself while playing or you know, pray to my God to spare me of this pain. And now I find out, oh, it's the arcade version. Oh, now I understand.
Right.
It's making a lot more sense.
And every one of those precious slides was another valuable quarter.
Another valuable shiny quarter.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all falling into place now that the arcade one was much more difficult.
So speaking of the arcade one, I learned a lot of things this week about this game that I did not know. One of which was that these guys are Billy and Jimmy In my world, these guys were called Hammer and Spike. I don't know where Billy and
Jimmy were. Oh, really? Oh. I think that's the,
yeah.
That's a port concoction.
Hammer and Spike.
Yeah, well, I ended up watching the movie, much to my chagrin, and they were Billy and Jimmy there as well, and that's what sparked my, I was confused, thinking these guys are going to die, and then Hammer and Spike are going
to
show up.
Oh, good point. The NES manual refers to them as Billy and Jimmy.
Yes.
That's crazy. Hammer and Spike are such cool names. Why don't you go Billy and Jimmy?
So much better.
Yeah. Well, they soften it up a little bit for that home console release.
I don't know. I'm looking up the this is on a Double Dragon wikia.com, and the arcade version calls them Billy, Lee, and Jimmy. I'm going to have to dive deeper to find Hammer and Spike.
I think that's a retcon thing where it's a... I don't know. I actually read that they were not named in the original arcade game, in the original American one, but can't remember where I read that.
Yeah, so. Where did you hear those names, PP?
So, excuse me. My memory is that my memory is of a art on the side of the arcade machine.
Yes.
It was a drawing, illustration of the two guys, and one said Hammer and one said Spike over the top of it. And that's who that's who they were.
Yeah, that is what I read, that they were not, that they are not named in the game itself in the arcade, but that
it says promotion. They were inadvertently renamed briefly in the US as Hammer and Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, on the machine itself. That's odd.
That was an inadvertent stroke of genius.
Yeah, it's one of those facts. Also the fact that
what's weird is it seems Hammer and sorry to talk over you.
Steve does not get to finish his thought
because Hammer and Spikes really sound like the Japanese version of these names, like Hammer and Spike instead of Billy and Jimmy.
God. Popeye no Bichu Volleyball.
Don't bring me into your transgressions. It's not. I'm not your shield.
Hammer and Spike seems like what their name should be in the Russian version of this game, or something like that.
Oh, now he's racist.
And their sister Sickle, yeah.
Yeah.
Must be bringing Sickle to the mission.
So that was a deep disappointment. There's nothing cool about Billy and Jimmy.
No, it's awful.
Another thing that surprised me to learn, and this is on me, you guys. I will take this one, but I had no idea that this game had anything to do with martial arts. It always seemed like street toughs to me. When I think of martial arts, it's like I'm thinking about swords and nunchucks and throwing stars. Karate, that sort of thing, and this is all pretty straightforward. It's just, baseball bats and whips and punches,
chains,
barrels, very, very martial arty.
Yeah, if you go back centuries in Japan, where they threw barrels at each other when they trained karate.
Yeah, that's how they learned how to jump correctly. Yeah,
yeah. I felt stupid after learning that and going back and looking at it again. It's the splash screen. It's very sort of martial artsy because it's got that Japanese writing and a dragon on it. But back then, everything kind of had Japanese stuff all over it.
The dragon part that might tip you off. Plus a lot of kicking.
A lot of kicking. That's true. But a lot of the games had, there's a lot of fantasy stuff that's got dragons in it too. So I don't know what I thought. Double Dragon. I was surprised when I flipped on the movie and I was like, why is all this Eastern kind of martial arts stuff. I was expecting, people in, I don't know. It was shocking.
West Side Story 2.
Yeah.
Well, I think this and Renegade, the game that preceded it, started as kind of like a ripoff of stuff like The Warriors and Escape from New York, like 80s gritty feel. And then I think for whatever reason, when it came over to America, they made it more into like a karate offshoot. I would think maybe for legal reasons they did that. Like they didn't want to get sued by whoever holds that Hot Warriors IP. So.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think you're making leaps. Like the Japanese version is pretty similar to the Americans.
Yeah, I think it's just like that, like Street Fighter white guy that knows karate kind of idea. He went to the mall a few times, figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. But so I one will say about the NES version is it is especially easy once I think you get to the third experience level in jump kick. Because you can just
jump kick is key.
Yeah, you can wreck everything in this game with the jump kick. So you know, once you get that, the game is pretty much over. Although it's boring to just continually use the jump kick.
Yeah, most of the time I was kicking until I learned that I could do the jump kick, and then I was jump kicking mm-hmm. everything. Unless there was like a bat that I could pick up, and then I was just swinging the bat.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
bring up a good point because you do technically level up in this game.
Mm-hmm.
This is where
you gain experience.
As you fight, your indicator score goes up, and if it goes over 999, a heart mark will appear, and you level mm-hmm. up one. So, Todd, is Double Dragon an RPG?
By your rules, yes.
By my rules?
Yes.
Are you sure?
You gain experience and level up.
Yeah. Okay.
Huel, is this your favorite RPG?
No.
Probably Breath of the Wild is your favorite.
No, because the Zelda series is not an RPG, so I would say probably Fallout 3 is my favorite RPG.
Oh. Yeah.
Because you do not gain experience.
You gain experience orbs, right.
No.
Experience orbs.
They are not. They are collectible items which allow you to increase your health or stamina.
Yeah.
Items.
And you do have a point counter.
Game.
You do have a point counter.
Point counter meaning how many orbs you have? Is that?
Yes, through your experience you've collected, how many points
you have. But then you trade in the orbs. You don't continuously gain orbs. You just collect them.
Like when you level up and it resets to
and
zero.
Gain a heart or gain a stamina section.
Ah.
So yeah, yes, Fallout 3 is my favorite RPG.
Yeah, finally. Finally some talk about Fallout on this show.
About time.
You can gain up to, I'm looking at 7 experience levels on 7 hearts on the...
Seven levels of technical skill,
mm-hmm.
according to the manual.
Yeah, although really, like, up to, like, 4 is really where you need to, and then after that it's just kind of meh. But, because 4 is when you get the hair grab. So that's also...
Oh, yeah, once you learn that hair grab, man, you're dominating.
Call me Daddy.
You're dominating, wink.
Ooh. Well, I didn't even mean it in that way, but...
Well, too late.
Yikes. this is a fun game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I was just curious, as I was playing this, it brought back a lot of memories of playing other beat 'em ups, and it got me wondering what everyone's favorite beat 'em up game was. On the heels of Double Dragon.
Whew. This is not what you want to ask right now.
I mean, Huel, even though this famously not your genre, but you have to have a favorite out of your least favorite genre.
I guess. if I had to pick one, it would probably be the X-Men or Simpsons arcade game, which we covered probably 4 years ago, both of them.
They were both in the first year, yes.
Yeah, definitely. So, I think of the ones we played, those are my favorite. Probably because I like The Simpsons and I like X-Men. That's my guess.
It's too bad we didn't know about this question ahead of time. We could have done a Mount Beat'em-up or something like that.
Oh my god, that would have been incredible.
Yeah.
So I feel like Double Dragon popularized the genre, I always liked Final Fight growing up as a
small you're a Hager boy.
Yeah. Just because they had it at my local Pizza Hut. So I would pump some quarters into that one.
Is Final Fight the one where a pro wrestler is the mayor?
Yeah, Mike Hager. Yes. He's the mayor.
I did have a lot of fun with that one, actually.
Yeah. Well, mine's going to be kind of my indie underground classic, my indie darling choice, my secret underground indie darling choice has got to be River City Ransom. But it's not, let me say.
That's not a secret underground game.
Not my favorite, anymore. But I'll go with Turtles in Time, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the Time.
Whoa.
The arcade.
Ooh, everyone is impressed.
Yeah.
Dark Horse.
You know what? That game is really goddamn good. Like, you may have swayed me, Todd. like you may have changed my mind, Todd. Paul, how about you?
Oh, mine were already said it was a toss up between the Simpsons and the X-Men.
Ooh,
wow. I think if one of them has to edge it out, it's probably the X-Men, even though I think maybe The Simpsons was more fun to play. That was just a super playable game. But
yeah, it's just crazy. You're like, I get to play as The Simpsons, and Marge has a vacuum cleaner and is bashing people in the head. It's a great time.
Yeah. You know what? I played that Simpsons game again at a couple months ago. And it's, you know, it's fun, but it does not have a ton of depth to it. Like,
well, what beat 'em up does? Besides, sorry, Todd, River City Ransom, I guess.
Ransom, yes.
But that
is. It's like a. It's not really a beat 'em up, though, because it's like slightly like an RPG. Because, like, you're going about town, you're talking to NPCs, you're buying stuff. Like, is River City Ransom a beat 'em up? That's my true question.
It is a quintessential beat 'em up.
It is a action.
You have to level up and get experience.
It's an action adventure game.
It is an RPG.
But there's non-beat-em-up levels. Like, there's levels where you're
just... No, there's not non-beat-em-up. What are you talking about?
Yes, there is.
It's all beat-em-up.
What game am I talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it might have been Mystical Ninja. I might be thinking of Mystical Ninja. Guys, there's been so many episodes. Yeah.
Well, Mystical Ninja is a fun, offbeat beat-em-up. But
That might be the one where you can, like, go into town and buy stuff.
Yeah,
you could do that in River City Ransom.
And you do in that one, but you're not like, it's not like a whole level where you're buying stuff. It's just you go to a store and buy a skill.
Sure, but there's downtime.
Guys, I got news for you.
Uh-oh.
Wikipedia calls River City Ransom a role-playing beat-em-up video game.
It's both.
It's both.
I did not deny that. I said it is definitely both.
But in
it is an RPG. It's a beat-em-up where the gameplay is beat-em-up, but the system, like the leveling, the improving your skills is RPG-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like in a beat-em-up, there's no downtime. In River City Ransom, you're kind of chilling in town and you're going into shops.
You're not really so chilling. Like, you're just stopping in for like 10 seconds and getting something.
But you can.
Mm. My problem with River City Ransom, if I'm remembering correctly, is the fact that it's one of those old NES games where I have no clue what the hell to do. Like, I feel like I would just wander around. Like pop into shops and buy things until eventually I died because I didn't know where to actually go in the game. So
I may be confusing it with Mystical Ninja, which is my fault.
But no,
at the same time.
They both have that same kind of thing, except Mystical Ninja has stages. So it's a little easier to progress.
That's probably right.
And Mystical Ninja is also for the Super Nintendo, so it looks a hell of a lot better. And you can also play, like, arcade games in it. So, but I don't know. They're both among the better games of this genre, though.
So, do you mean genre?
Fun fact.
Yes. Genre.
Both River City Ransom, a.k.a. Kunio Kun, and Double Dragon are successors to Renegade, the original game.
I could believe that. Yeah.
Wait, like lineage successor? Like they're
lineage. related, as in Renegade was developed by Technos, I believe, and then they split off. One guy made Double Dragon, one guy made River City Ransom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Night of the Living Dead and Return of the Living
Dead. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're movies, right?
They're both dead and they're both around. Right.
Yeah, I got what you were saying. But no, like, you can definitely see that they were made by the same company. They both have the same kind of feel. Double Dragon and River City Ransom. Like, that, it's weird that art style to me is pretty distinctive. Like, it's also in, like, World Cup Soccer and Dodgeball.
Super Dodgeball.
Yeah. Just like these oddly... all the characters look kind of like oddly squat. Like Double Dragon, they look a little more normal, but all the other games are like kind of squat looking. So
I thought they looked really squat on the NES. You know what, on the NES version too, the other thing that was weird, and I didn't play all the way through, so maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt one of the reasons I got bored with it real quick was it didn't seem like any of the enemies had a variance in how difficult they were. They all seemed to be pretty much the same level of difficulty. In the arcade version, they all have different moves and different strength levels, and you could get really screwed if you ended up trying to fight to, you know, like the worst, the toughest ones were those, like the Mr. T, like those big, those great big black dudes. If you got two of them on you at once, it was was rough.
Yes, that.
I don't want to make this a race thing, but that's just genetics.
Can you please cut that clip? I'm the black sheep of the family. If you got two of them on you at once,
yeah. I think you're talking about the Abobos, correct?
The Abobos. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think the Abobo. I thought the Abobo was
the
giant guy with like the huge head, like
the guy that looks like a giant rock guy.
Yeah, he was the boss of the first level, and then he appears later.
But he's not in the arcade.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was talking about.
That's what I'm thinking.
Now these big shirtless guys look like Mr. T with no chains.
A poor Mr. T.
Yeah. Anyway, point being, they all have different like sort of specialities that they can throw an arrow on you. And in the NES game, I went through, I think, three levels, and I kind of got bored because it just seemed like everybody was more or less the same. I mean, some guys took more hits to go down, but
No, you are correct, Paul. Like the arcade version is way more varied. Yes, Wikipedia a lot of technical limitations on the NES version because they just know how to like port things well to it. So that's why there's a limit, like three characters on the screen at a time, and also that's why you can't do two player co-op. And that's also why like most of the enemies are just like different colors of one another, and like, you know, some basically they can have different weapons, but otherwise they attack the same way unless it's a ball.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you can see the picture of a Bobo that Todd just shared there, Paul. Do you mean that guy or
That guy's in the NES version though, right?
Yeah, but he's also in the arcade version. It's just like a normal enemy, I think. Like he literally suplexes you in the arcade version.
He's definitely a boss. He's a boss in the NES one, and then appears later as a normal enemy.
Yes,
like a common early game trope.
Mm-hmm.
I did not recognize him from the arcade version, but I'll take your word for it. I do remember the suplex.
Yeah, he does like a backflip or something like that. Like he throws you over his back.
Yeah,
and so in the NES version, he is somewhat simple to deal with because the first time you see him, there's a conveyor belt in that stage. So you can just, you know, you can kind of get him to walk off the conveyor belt, which is helpful.
Right.
That helps, but at other points, you basically just have to beat him using your old jump kick. So, yeah,
that guy got his own game. That's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Did not know that.
It is a freeware parody flash game inspired by other games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a well-known early internet game. I feel like.
Is that
like a Bobo's Big Adventure?
Yeah, so this must be like some sort of retro. I'm looking at a video arcade version of that game. Someone must have put that together, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. This is not officially licensed IP. So
right, okay, got it.
Just to make that clear. But yeah, he is now like probably the third most popular character from this game, or maybe he might even be the most popular. It's not like, as I can get into now, this series is just, oof, it is a mixed bag when it comes to sequels. Most people enjoy the second game, although the arcade version starts out pretty bleak. From Wikipedia, Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, begins with Marion, the damsel in distress from the original Double Dragon, being shot to death by the leader of the Black Warriors. So,
it's not funny.
Well, you laughed quite hard at that, but yeah, that's pretty heavy. I don't think that makes it into the NES version. Although oddly, we didn't mention this. The ending of the NES version is the brothers fighting against each other because you find out Jimmy is actually like the leader of the gang you've been fighting.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were getting into that. Yeah, he is the leader of the. Was it
the Black Warriors?
Black Warriors, right?
Yeah. Whereas in the arcade version, it's Willy. So and also he's the only one in this game who has a Willy. So,
but
which seems weird.
Not according to the manual. A lot of the enemies have names, such as a Bobo. Which we just talked about for about 10 minutes.
I said Willy is the only guy who has a gun. Sorry, I may have cut out.
I thought you said a name you cut out. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, you cut out. I thought you said he was the only one who had a Willy. And I was like, what?
I also thought that.
Everyone is very confused.
Yes, he is the only one who has genitalia in this game. Paul, did you ever play Double Dragon 3?
I did not. I never actually played 2 or 3. I didn't play any of the sequels to this game.
Oh, well, you are not missing much. Double Dragon 3 for the NES, as they say in the UK, is a hellishly hard game, and according to Wikipedia, 500,000 copies of it went unsold. The series was followed by mostly meh sequels, with the exception being Double Dragon Neon in 2012, which was made by fans of the original game. The IP rights for the series were then snatched up by Arc System Works, who apparently were one of the original publishers of the series, and they released the mediocre Double Dragon 4 in 2017. So that's kind of where things stand now. So
it's kind of remarkable that it continues to exist. This, I mean, for a game that has really not anything to it, mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy that here we are 30 years later and someone is still actively owning this IP.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know. That doesn't surprise me too much, but it is, you know, it is interesting to see how much like other series took this formula and like, just tweaked it in little ways here and there. Whereas, like, you know, Double Dragon is just not a great game. And there's also, like, a Super Nintendo game that isn't good. And there's, I think there's, like, a PlayStation game that isn't good either. So,
and they had a crossover with my boys, the Battletoads, the Super, the Double Dragon Battletoads on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also not a great game. Not a great game.
No.
But fun that they had that crossover.
Yeah, it's also, I think Rare made that, didn't they? Because that game wasn't bad.
Yeah, that is a rare joint.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, Wikipedia also, Super Spike Vol is a crossover game. Which is weird to me, but... So... you can play as Billy and Jimmy in this game. So I guess when they're not fighting gangs, they're playing volleyball. So good for them.
Gotta keep in shape.
Yeah, you gotta work on that beach bod. I don't know. I didn't have any more super strong thoughts on this one. Todd, maybe you could tell us whether there are some people who love this game.
Yeah, so, I mean, we like this game for what it is. Paul loves this game in the arcade. But I do have three reasons why Double Dragon on the NES is the most best game of all time. All right, first one is titled The Beginning by Big Man Pack. Big Man Pack.
What?
Sure.
Oh.
In December of 2010, Big Man Pack wrote, okay, in the start of the series, but not very easy. No two-player game because Jimmy is the last level boss on this one. The gameplay isn't bad, just Billy starts to develop movies during fighting. I recommend you play the arcade version. You can download the ROM, which is much better than this version. It has two-player mode. Overall, it's not a bad game. 5 stars!
Ooh.
There you go.
All right, next one is by Timothy M. And his review is titled, Great Product.
Oh.
And this is... In February of 2014, Timothy M. wrote, I bought this product a while back and really enjoy using it. I'd recommend this to anyone who wants one. 5 stars.
Very to the point.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, hey, maybe this is like a 5-star product. 2-star, 3-star, 5-star product. All right. Next one is by Connor's Mom 2005.
Wait, say that again.
Connor's Mom, 2005.
Okay.
In May of 2008. Oh, so Connor's Mom was only 3 at that point. Connor's Mom, 2005, wrote, Pure Nostalgic Cheese. This game has the most awful graphics on the planet and is so cheesy. Wow. But we love playing it simply because it's a nostalgic piece of our lost youth. In general, well worth buying, unless you're from the, quote, Wii generation, LOL. 5 stars.
Ooh, got him.
Ooh.
I really hope, for humanity's sake, that she had no other children, because she identifies herself as only one of the child's mother. So I hope Connor's an only child. Just pointing it out.
Hmm. Well, I have a lot of 1-star Yelp reviews for Double Dragon, which, you know, I noted after last week's show, hey, Double Dragon, that's a restaurant in Houston. I could go check it out. And then I was sufficiently scared by a number of 1-star reviews to not do that. Hmm. So, you know, there's just a lot of them. And so let me just read two of them here. V says, I ordered special lo mein. They mix shrimp, beef, and chicken were terrible. Nasty smell in their meat as frozen a long time ago. I could not done it and put in trash can right away. Sorry, never again. So that was bad. And also 1 star. And This one, huh, from Jennifer F. Double Dragon, huh? More like double penetration, because they're going to give it to you twice. Because they're going to give it to you twice, once with the service and then with the food. Yes, that's right. I rated it no stars. Definitely not the year of the two-headed dragon.
Can we hire this person?
She really got screwed.
Twice.
Oh, yeah. Just kind of came out of nowhere there with that one. Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't get the profanity drop for that one.
No.
It's more dialogue. It's more of a dialogue, adult dialogue warning than a language warning.
Yes. Yes. Well, she has three reviews, so I'll contact her about ready on the show.
Please.
We'll see.
Prolific.
Are they all semi-pornographic?
No. The other two are pretty normal, it looks like. So, you know, she doesn't, you know, she's got range as a writer. Mm-hmm. Although she also has, for another place, first time visit and will not be coming back. Horrible customer service. Our rude waitress would take half of our order, cut you off to go answer the phone, and later come back to finish taking the order. Food was nothing special. It had no flavor. 2 stars. I feel like that's a 1-star experience. But, you know. Well, Huel, were you able to look at Emmanuel for this one?
In fact, I did look at Emmanuel. My eyes interpreted the light that was reflected off of it, and my brain processed the information. It has a lot of good drawings. This is an early NES manual, so that is a great property of an early NES manual. So drawings of all the different moves. You got the punch, you got the kick, you got the headbutt, you got the jump kick. It's even got a drawing of the famous hair pull. So it's got drawings of all those moves. It goes over the 4 levels, the 4 in-depth levels that we go through. And it has little profiles of some of the enemies. Because some of the enemies you fight, as we talk about, is a Bobo. There's also Lopar, a dude that throws barrels. Williams is the one with the bat. And Linda is the one with the whip. So the lady you get to beat up multiple times is named Linda. And also has little drawings of the different items. So this is definitely a very good manual. It's short and to the point. Not much in depth here. But overall, I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Boo.
Because I appreciate the drawings.
Yeah, it's, 3.5 is, you know, pretty good for... I mean, it's, I would
it's
say not pretty
above
It's standard... It's above average, but I'd say it's standard for a NES and NES manual.
Yeah, for a NES, that's about the ballpark you're looking at for one that gives you a lot of good drawings.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Oh, I feel like I'm remiss in doing something.
Oh,
so
well,
perhaps we should Herzog this next.
Don't worry,
Herzog.
One. You said one more segment.
I certainly do.
I have a rating system. And it's called the Herzog Delay and Fill for Time Rating System. And
because we have not taken long enough yet.
Double Dragon for the NES coming in at a Herzog 7. Herzog 7.
Oh. Wow.
Where it's good to play your ancestor games every once in a while.
Huh?
Like,
you know, find your roots.
Yeah, find them roots. Root about them roots. And this game, you know, it's still satisfying. It's not really that deep. But I feel like you could pick this up and play this for 10 to 15 minutes and find some enjoyment before moving on to other things. With a lot of these older games, that's about as good as you're going to do, like versus some of the some of the crap we have to play. So that Beetlejuice game, that was bad. So yeah, I'm going to say 7. Now, Todd, do you have a rating system?
I do have a rating system. It is called the DuckTale Scale. It has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I personally have for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay this in these impeachment hearing times?
The impeachment era, as they call
the
it.
The impeachment era times, these troubling times that we live in. Nostalgia, you know, pretty good nostalgia for Double Dragon. I played it as a kid. I did pop a quarter or two in the old arcade Double Dragon. I did play it, have as a rental on the NES a few times, you know. Pretty good nostalgia for the Double Dragons. Replayability, it's okay. You know, it's a beat 'em. It's a beat 'em. You do what you do. You beat 'em and you beat 'em. I would say, you know, replayability, beat 'em wise, you'd go with like a Ninja Turtles on the NES or a River City Ransom for some more beat 'em replayability. Or even better beat 'ems on the Super NES. So there's other beat 'ems that I would rather replay than this one. This one is not totally replayable as other beat 'ems. Those two primary factors being factored in, I would put Double Dragon on the NES / arcade in at a point. Let me see here. Carry the two, and it's coming in at a 0.39 DuckTales.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Ooh, I was a little worried there.
Pretty close.
I went 0.43.
Yes. Yes, you did.
Yeah, that's just about half, but a little too high.
A little under half. Yes.
Little too high on the replay. On
so you went 0.39, correct? Yeah. So, yeah. I was a little worried there when you started talking about the replayability, but I thought the nostalgia was high enough to warrant such a score.
Some nostalgia factored in for sure. It was one of the primary factors, yeah.
Look, after last week, I think I did a lot better.
Yep. Good job.
Hey, thanks.
You're within a point.
I was in a 0.1, yes.
Yeah.
I was under 0.05.
Yeah.
If you're within a 0.1, you're doing good.
Yeah. I mean, technically, you were within a point. Yours is within a point, though. Like.
Well, yeah. I am always within one DuckTale of Todd's score.
Yes. So, you know.
That is true.
And good job on doing that.
Thanks, man.
I have that many more thoughts on this game. Todd, well, was there
Paul, any... wait. Paul, do you have a rating for this game?
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good
is there ask. A rating system that you procure?
I have a proprietary rating system that's unique for each game. This one gets two spikes.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, ten. Wait. What did you say, 10 spikes?
Two spikes.
Oh. How many,
even though only
how many...
one spike appears in the game, it gets a full two spikes.
Mm. Yes.
Correct. Wow. That is impressive.
How many spikes is that out of? Is that spikes?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Mm.
Okay.
He doesn't want to slander this game.
Oh.
It's proprietary.
Mm. Yes. Okay.
In your treatment for Double Dragon the movie, will Bobo be riding on the back of Jimmy and Bimmy? Point.
Oh my god.
God, I hope so. I hadn't envisioned that, but
how is it
even now possible? I can't stop.
Todd, is there anything else you want about this game?
No, it's fine. It's a fine sweet game.
It's a fine sweet game. Huel, how about you?
I feel like we gotta move on.
I know. I always get carried away when we have a guest. Paul, how about you?
Nothing really to say other than I think this game deserves a lot of respect for what it brought to the overall video gaming community. Even though I know it wasn't technically the first, nobody ever played Renegade. So this is, you know, it sits a little head and shoulders above the others.
This is definitely the first game of this type that I can remember. Like, So, you know, I realized stuff like Renegade was first in something called Kung Fu Fighter, according to the old Wikipedia. But, like, when I think, like, first beat 'em up, Double Dragon.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails?
Oh, I'll save my emails. We are going. We need to move this show along. I'll save my time for other people.
Huel, how about you?
I do have an email that I will read right now.
Oh, okay.
Dear YPB, your show on Lethal Weapon last week was really good, but I think you missed the point here. I appreciate you honoring the Joe Pesci Game on Video trilogy, but doesn't that just make you realize he should be in more video games? He's already made his return to movie acting. I think it's about time he made his return to video games, too. What game would you like to see Joe Pesci in next? P.S. Never call him a compact Italian again, you mother effers. He has to get that changed on IMDb. And that is from Mo_Deshi_definitely_not_Joe_Pesci@gmail.com.
Mm. Bo Deshi, yeah.
Yeah. Mo Deshi.
Yeah, I don't think we called him a compact Italian for sure. Well, I was just quoting what IMDb said.
Look, quoting, as we found out earlier in this episode, not the
That'll
best
get you canceled.
Cover.
Quoting nope, gets you canceled.
Not the best That's cover. The. Still happens. Still words from your mouth. So, according to Mo Deshi, never do it again. So, what game would you like to see Joe Pesci in next?
Yeah, you know what? Something sprang to mind is that the past year I've been playing through Shadow of Mordor, the game, Arkham Asylum, where you're right. Instead of Batman, you're a dude slicing up orcs.
You're a Lord of the Ring.
You're a Lord of the Ring. Slicing up Orkman.
A titular lord. Who was the Lord of the Ring? Did we ever figure that out? Was it Frodo?
Yeah, I mean, he's on the cover. So.
It's Sauron.
Yeah.
But he's barely in the movie. All right. So anyway, Shadow of Mordor.
Right, Joe Pesci. Joe
Pesci would make a great orc in that. Those orcs have personality.
If they were all Joe there. Pesci's,
yeah, they could be all Joe Pesci's. Joe Pesci voice. They're all short little orcmen.
That'd be incredible.
Compact orcmen, and
compact
they're all
orcmen.
Like...
Compact Mordorian Joe Pesci.
I think Pesci would make a pretty good golem too. To be honest,
honestly, I was thinking Gimli. We're going with compact.
That's typecasting.
He's gonna stab us.
Todd mentioned Batman, and I thought he would make a penguin.
Like, Please say that again.
He could play Penguin in a Batman game.
The new Arkham, yeah.
Yeah.
Although they did go the Cockney gangster angle in the Arkham series. So if we just switch it to Italian gangster, that might work out.
No, I want Pesci playing Cockney.
I feel like even better. Oh my god, you're right. What am I thinking?
He's got it in him. All he needs is the right.
I believe in him.
All he needs is the right director, and he can do it, I think.
Oh my god.
So
incredible.
Paul,
did you have an answer?
You know what? For years and years, I've always thought it would have been really fun to see Joe Pesci in an Aliens movie, which obviously we never got. Oh, so man. I would like to see him in whatever the next Aliens movie.
Yeah, one of the AVP video games.
Yeah.
Hey, you're spitting your acid over here, hey?
Oh, I can't believe how many aliens we got.
Oh.
So on a similar note, actually, my idea was put him as a character in the new StarCraft game. Because every time you click on a StarCraft unit, you get to hear a little quote from him. So what's better than just like clicking on a little Joe Pesci and... Get to hear him say stuff.
Mm.
That'd be awesome. Every time you click on, he's like, Jesse. Ah! Oh, sure, I'll go over here, whatever. That'd be great. Because, like, that's the key of getting Joe Pesci in your video game. You want him saying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you get him doing stuff in an RTS. I feel like that's gold.
I think, now that I think about it, I want Paul's Joe Pesci, like, in an Aliens movie. But with his, like, characteristics from Home Alone.
So, right. Yeah. Where he can't say curse words, so he, like, makes up nonsense words instead.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm imagining him doing the voice of an alien that's, like, getting foiled by, like Home Alone-style hijinks.
Like a blowtorch that was propped up.
Yeah.
Above his frame. Right.
Slipping all over marbles all over the ground.
Right.
Ice everywhere. Micro yeah, machines.
And iron hits him in the face. Ow, Christ.
But it's a xenomorph.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
See, I've told you on it.
We got to cut this out. This is, I can't let this go out for.
Don't worry. We can treatment of that in
yeah, at least 2 days. Give me 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a polish.
It writes itself.
Well, Paul, we did not publicize your appearance, but did you get any emails?
You know what? Oddly enough, I did. I'll read it real quick. It's brief. It says, Dear Mr. Glenn, I heard through the grapevine that you were going to be on the YPB podcast this week. And I wondered if you could ask the boys a question for me. Which of them do they reckon looks the manliest with a great big joystick in his hand? Signed, B-Sack. Please do not use my real name.
Oh.
Oh.
No.
You can cut that last part.
Oh, of course.
So wait, was this a question for you?
I think he's just wanting me to pass it along.
It's who you would think would look the manliest?
It says, which of them do they reckon?
Oh, okay.
So I think he's looking for a consensus here.
Boy.
I feel
like there's a lot of factors. I always use two joysticks at either side.
Okay. Good point.
I feel like Todd is the tallest of us, so I think it would be him.
Probably.
Like unless like how big is the joystick? Did he specify that?
Yeah, what is the girth on that?
I think that's
that
part of the question.
Yeah, well, he doesn't specify. It just says a great big joystick. So I think he's talking about one of the big boys.
Huh. So like an arcade joystick or like a...
Yeah, or like one of those...
An Atari. Oh, like a flight sim. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That is girthy. That is a girthy stick.
Ooh, the Dikembe.
They do call it that.
Yeah, a big girthy one. Multiple pressure points.
A lot of buttons. A lot of buttons on that one.
Well, yeah. Like it.
I mean, I don't disagree that it would be Todd, so.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
He does have the most children out of all three.
Oh, that's a good point.
So that would make him.
I mean, I have proven myself.
Proven his virility.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, proven.
So he knows how to handle it. That sounds like consensus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Well, with physical proof that I know how to be a, to,
and we're talking
to perform
about,
as a man.
We're talking about joysticks here.
Don't, yes, correct. My kids and I do play a lot. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Well, I think Mr. Anonymous
Mr.
Beast, will be
Mr. B-Sack Anonymous.
B-Sack Anonymous will be pleased to hear that.
Very satisfied with that answer.
Well, I did not receive any mail.
What a shame.
Yeah. Well, Todd, was there any asks this week?
We'll do a quick one. We'll do a quick one since we got Paul on the line. We need his advice. All right. Somebody needs our help, so let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous. And here we go. This one's from an anonymous. And the subject of their ask is, how do I stop a married man to be friendly with me?
Ooh.
And their ask is, one of my coworker is a married man and he is overly friendly with me. I am a reserved single woman, but I don't want to develop any bond with him. How do I deal with this?
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's two people here who can give good answers to this, since you're married men.
Huh. It sounds very accusatory.
Yeah. or maybe you can't give good answers, like
because they're well-behaved husbands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what would dissuade me from trying to be overly friendly with someone.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
that's what you got to do. You got to ug yourself up.
When I'm trying to be overly friendly, I got my eye on the prize, and I don't know. I don't know
the
what
prize. What is the prize?
A single reserved woman.
A reserved single woman. Yes.
Yeah.
But what if she doesn't want to develop any bond with you?
Unfortunately, maybe that's what he's into, the reserved part. Maybe you gotta slut it up and that'll turn him off.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. That's like
he's like, I don't want this.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
As
exactly.
They say. Yeah.
That is playing a dangerous game though. Because it could be misinterpreted.
By other married men?
Well, yeah, well, but I guess by anybody, but maybe primarily by this guy who thinks maybe she's loosening up for him.
It's like one of those, like, we introduce cats to the town to get rid of the rat problem, and then dogs to the town to get rid of the cat problem.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that could be an issue.
Yeah, where does it end? Where does it end?
You should probably just quit your job and find something else.
Yeah, I know.
She could tell him that she mentioned casually in conversation that she's gay.
Always a great solution.
Yeah, don't be yourself.
Yeah, I feel like lies.
Lying and creating a false personality about yourself. Yes.
Yeah. If all goes bad, just lie.
Yeah, I mean the boring answer is just go to HR and file a complaint.
Or tell his wife. That's always fun.
or tell his wife.
Slip an anonymous note, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to say your name. I mean.
Yeah, but then you're also running the risk that the wife might be. He's like, so what do you think?
Oh, she might be into it.
She's a frisky.
Yeah.
I feel like the odds are low.
I mean, that's like a 99% chance that's going to happen, right?
Yeah. No.
I've never seen it not happen, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. Well, we've given her a few options, I think.
Yeah, 60% of the time it works, 100% of the time. I don't think you want to tell the wife because she could freak out on you, like blame
you. That sounds
fun.
That's a fun time.
Yeah. She could just chillax, man.
Oh, that's the answer.
Just relax.
Great answer.
Relax. Let it
chillax.
Let things ride.
Yep, solved.
Yep. We help that problem a lot. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off for the night?
Yeah, I'm okay. It must be the power of the body.
Wow.
From the Scott Wolf classic Double Dragon.
Scott Wolf.
Oh yeah, Scotty Wolf.
Can I just say one thing about that movie? I made a ton of notes about that movie, and then remembered that this is not a movie podcast. But having never seen it before, just two things to say. Number one, Robert Patrick looks amazing in that movie.
Ooh,
and
he is strapping.
Two,
yeah,
he looks. I mean, he always looks amazing, but he looks. He looks extra in this movie. And number two, Alyssa Milano, who possessed one of the most enviable physiques on the planet in 1994, somehow they managed to make her look like a sack of applesauce in that movie. And I cannot figure it out. It has got to be responsible for her failure as a movie star. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not even a... You didn't say a sack of apples. You said a sack of applesauce, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yes, a formless void. Formless matter.
Unbelievable work by that production team.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of Kylie Minogue in a Street Fighter. Mm. Like, she, you know, I saw that as a teen, and I was like, wow.
She commanded this, that role.
Yeah, this lady is a great actress.
That movie did wonders.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, I forgot the haircut she had in that movie. Jesus. anyways. Maybe we'll have you back when we review the movie for an Oscar show sometime, except then I might have to watch it again. And I already did that back in the day. So I've already seen that movie twice, which is probably two times more than I should have.
Twice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Once when it came out, and once again for a another podcast. You know, the name of it's escaping me right now.
Oh, the failed podcast that didn't even make it past a year?
Oh.
Is that the one?
I think it made it past a year.
Barely.
It was close, though. But, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Watch out for her right or left punch. She also wields a mean whip.
Oh. Yes. Linda, not Alyssa Milano, though.
Yes, Linda specifically.
Maybe Alyssa Milano, too. We don't know. Paul, thanks so much for guesting this week. Was there any projects that you wanted to plug right now?
Finally. I have a film that was just recently purchased by Shorts TV and will be airing on Shorts TV in the coming year. Well, sounds like the next couple of years. So if you have access to Shorts TV on your cable provider, you can look for it. It is called Ens Rationis. It is also available.
Do you want to spell that for the people?
Yeah, let's spell it.
that was the worst idea ever to choose.
Just say
Latin. It's Ens Rationis.
There you go.
Ens Rationis. And it's also available on Amazon Prime. If you are Amazon Prime subscriber, you can search for it there.
When you get that Prime subscription, click through. And I got to say, Paul, I did watch it, and I enjoyed it greatly. It's right up my alley. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a good little short.
Thank you. Very good.
Yeah, definitely. Check it out, guys.
That's important to point out, too, for people. It is a short. It's only 15 minutes long. So don't pop yourself a big bucket of popcorn for it.
Open your eyeballs.
Yes.
Take it in.
Yes. And other than that, just thanks for having me on, guys, because I always have fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. You are one of our favorite guests.
Hey, I never got my blazer, by the way. I keep calling.
Oh.
And... Well, that's tonight's show. So, to play us out, here's the little snifferoo from next week's game.
Perfect.
Hey, how you doing, Fats? What are you up to?
Oh, hi, Fred. I'm waiting for Junior. He's supposed to stop by sometime today.
Hey, Pops, Fred.
Junior, how have you been?
Sit down.
You have a seat too, Fred. Junior, I've asked you to come here today for a reason. You know that I've spent all my life hustling pool halls. Well, my reputation. People now call me the Unground King of Pool.
Yeah, so what's the point?
Well, before I became known as a King of Pool, there was this kid named Big G. Used to hustle all of my establishments, cheating and using all sorts of nasty tricks. And I taught him a pretty good lesson by beating him at his own game and winning all of his earnings. Now I hear that recently, he's come back to stink up my pool halls again. Not alone, but with his boys.
That's interesting, Fats. Can we hurry this up?
Junior, don't be obnoxious with me. I'm the one known for that. Anyway, I would really like to beat G in my old-fashioned style. But I've grown too old for hustling. So this is where you come in. Well, I know how good you are. I taught you a lot of my own tricks. I want you to find Big G and teach him a lesson for the second and last time.
You know, Fats, you're always asking for trouble. But if you want me to, okay, I'm game. I assume that's it? Well, see you later, Fats. I gotta bail. Take it easy, Fred.